Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Monday, May the 12th. And NASCAR out at the Kansas Speedway this weekend with the Camping World Truck Series and the Sprint Cup Series. Next weekend will be the Sprint All-Star Race. And then, of course, after that, the Memorial Day weekend event of the Coca-Cola 600 and the Indianapolis 500. Then Kurt Busch will be attempting to drive the 1,100 miles that weekend. So more on that next week. Right now, I'd like to welcome to the show my very special guest to help promote this coming weekend's Sprint All-Star Race, none other than Miss Sprint Cup, Madison Martin. Madison, welcome back to the show.
Hey, how are you doing? Thank you so much for bringing me back in another week.
Hey, you know, it's the big push for the final vote, and who else better to have than Miss Sprint Cup herself? And that would be you. Of course, you share duties with Kim Coons, and I saw on the Miss Sprint Cup page, Facebook page, that there's going to be a big announcement coming out for the new one.
Yeah, there is. You know, that is just one of the really exciting things that's getting added to our really tremendous Sprint All-Star Race weekend. This weekend we have, you know, a concert performance by Jake Owen, as well as two performances by Train. Darius Rucker is singing the national anthem. Just a lot of really exciting things going on at the Sprint All-Star Race, as well as our newest Miss Sprint Cup is going to be added to the team.
So we're going to introduce her next week. And I know you're all out in Kansas City, and that's, I guess, Sprint's home track because their corporate offices are right near there. So I thought they might have done it then.
Yeah, it was really cool to be in Kansas City, get to see some of the Sprint headquarters, as well as my first time ever being at Kansas Speedway and getting to be in victory lane, obviously, with Jeff Gordon for his first win of 2014. It was really exciting, but we decided to hold off on releasing our newest Miss Sprint Cup last weekend. We're going to announce it, obviously, this weekend at Sprint All-Star Race, and it's pretty cool for any fan who's interesting in learning more about the newest Miss Sprint Cup. They can follow Miss Sprint Cup on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vine. And we're starting to leak out like some information about her, and you can see some pictures, not revealing her yet, but just clues about who she is and what she likes to do.
Well, that kind of makes it interesting. The fact that is she a brunette? Is she a blonde? Is she a redhead? I mean, can you leak out that much?
I can't leak out that much. The only thing I can leak out is where she's from, and that's about it. Like, I'm going to keep it wrapped up beyond that.
Well, that's good. So I put you through the test. You pass, so your superiors, you won't get in trouble, so. I wouldn't want to do that to you anyway, but the big vote coming up, and there's still a good bit of drivers left to vote for, which basically two of those will be eliminated. One that wins the Sprint Showdown will be taken off the list, and the other one will be the runner-up, so that leaves one left there for the fans to vote in on, and this is the last week to do that. I'm on the NASCAR.com Sprint fan vote page, and I'm just curious to wonder who's going to make the grade.
Yeah, it's really cool. Today, actually, on the Miss Sprint Cup Twitter social feed, we released the top 10 in the voting order for the Sprint fan vote. We didn't say what rank they were because we did it alphabetically, but you got a gist of who the top 10 are right now in the Sprint fan vote. And I think that's one of the coolest things about Sprint All-Star Race is that fans can determine one driver to get into the race, you know, who hasn't qualified yet for that race. And all they have to do is go to NASCAR.com/Sprint Fan Vote or vote on their mobile device by pulling out the NASCAR mobile app, which is free for Sprint customers, and votes count double there. So they can vote in that driver that hasn't made it yet. And also what happens is when they vote, they're entered into a sweepstakes for two people to win a trip to any chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race of their choice, which I think is really unique, too, for this year because we haven't done that before, and the chase has changed. So if I was the winner of that grand prize, I would totally be going, you know, to Homestead, Miami, come in the fall to see that final race for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series chase.
Yeah, because it's going to come down to four drivers, and with the way things are going, defending champ and six-time Sprint Cup champion Jimmy Johnson right now doesn't have a win. Jeff Gordon getting that this past weekend. You know, it's the first Sprint Cup night race in Kansas City, so he got to be the first winner there for the night race, and it got to be your first victory lane for the night race there. So now that he's got that win, he's in the chase, and with the emphasis on winning that the NASCAR has done, it seems like we might have a lot more winners this year because nobody's going to be doing battle, you know, have a good points night or all this, because once they get the win, they're pretty much in, and they're taking the top 16, and then I guess when the seeding rolls around, I guess it goes according to the amount of, you know, from most wins to least, and then if there's anybody left after that, it's straight up points. But Jeff Gordon being the points leader, I'm thinking of cats, points leader. Didn't need that win, and he fell short a couple times, but it was good to see him get it this time. So he could breathe a sigh of relief, and that just puts the strain on Jimmy, who's got six of those lovely trophies and all that money he's collected for those winning those six trophies. You know, he's looking to tie the Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt for seven, so it's going to be interesting to see if a bunch of drivers could hold them off or if he can sneak in there. I don't think you can count him out, but it'll be fun to make him wait until the last race before the chase to get in. Now,
yeah, I think... Yeah. Sorry.
That's my fault.
No, I just think as you were saying, it was really exciting to see Jeff Gordon get the win this past weekend. You know, for me being in victory lane with someone like Jeff Gordon, it was so exciting and such a unique opportunity to be a part of that, you know, especially with it being the first night race at Kansas. And I'm really excited to see what happens down the road since we have had so many different winners, and the only dual winners that we've had so far this season are Joey Logano and Kevin Harvick. I think we're going to continue to see that happen, you know, throughout the rest of the season.
You know, everybody was probably hoping Dale Jr. would get his second win of the year, but he took a gamble at Talladega. And it didn't help, of course, he had a fifth-place finish. Now, with the All-Star event weekend, not just voting for the fan, are they going to vote for the lineup in reverse in order and that kind of thing?
Yeah, the way the Sprint All-Star Race is set up this year is we will have qualifying on Saturday night. The Sprint fan vote cuts off on Friday night at the end of the night. That will be announced, whoever the winner of the Sprint fan vote is. And then on Saturday before the race, they will have qualifying, and it's really cool. It's a three-lap qualifying with a mandatory pit stop, and there is no speed limit on pit road. So drivers can literally come down pit road, you know, at over 100 miles per hour, slam on the brakes, slide in to their pit stall, do that pit stop, and pull back out for their final lap. And that is how the starting order will be decided. And I think it's going to be a really exciting race. You know, I always say the Sprint All-Star Race is one of those races that's great for anyone who's been interested in NASCAR but has maybe never given it a chance because they've never been to a race before. This is the perfect race for any fan to come out to, you know, have that first NASCAR experience at, because it's a shorter race. it's a lot shorter than a lot of the races we see throughout the course of the season, so you see a lot of action. It's not a points race, so the drivers, I think, take it a little differently than they would, you know, a typical race throughout the season, too. And there's that $1 million purse on the line, which I think spices things up as well. A lot of drivers in the back of their mind are like, oh, I can win that $1 million. So it makes it a really exciting race for fans. And we've got, you know, the concerts going on beforehand. And it's just, it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of excitement.
Sure is, because not only that, you have a doubleheader. You have the qualifying race, the first race, the showdown, leading into the All-Star race. And, of course, those cars there, being they don't really worry about them. So it's called, what they call that, the checkers or the wreckers. So they'll be throwing it all out there on the line. And as far as no speed limit down pit road, that's old school. When I started watching NASCAR, they didn't have that. That turned out to be a safety issue that they implemented later. So I'm wondering if a lot of these guys are going to be able to handle that. Maybe some of the older ones, Jeff Gordon, maybe Michael Waltrip if he's running. But there's not too many guys in the field today that go back that far to where you come down pit road as fast as you can and locking them up to get into your pit and then going off pit road as fast as you can to get back out there. So that's going to be pretty interesting to see.
Oh, yeah, it'll definitely be very interesting. And it's funny you mentioned Jeff Gordon. This weekend I actually had the opportunity to interview Jimmy Johnson, our six-time Sprint Cup Series champion, and he had the coolest thing to say about it because he just really said he won the Sprint All-Star race last year, and he had to say this time when I talked to him that he's really excited for the Sprint All-Star race coming up this Saturday at Charlotte Motor Speedway because he loves the fact that they have that mandatory pit stop and the fact that he gets to go through pit road as fast as he wants because he loves getting to slide through several pit stalls to make that mandatory pit stop. So I think it's going to be really exciting. You know, it's something that a lot of the guys, as you mentioned, don't have the opportunity to do that and haven't done that before. So you never know what might happen down there. I know I personally I'm not going to be standing on pit road while those guys are doing their qualifying laps because I think some of them might get a little bit out of control.
Well, as long as you're behind the wall, you should be all right. I mean, but don't stand in the opening in the middle there where it takes them back to the garage. Then you might. If you're behind the wall, you should be okay. But yeah, it'll be pretty interesting. So, how you like doing some interviewing instead of being the interviewee?
Yeah, I have to say, it is so much fun. You know, for me, as someone who came into being a Sprint Cup from being a fan of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, it's really cool because I feel like I try to pull a lot of the questions that I myself as a fan would have wanted to get answered to ask, you know, the big-time drivers. And it's neat because I can tell, you know, by the crowd's reaction whether they like the question or not like the question or whether the driver is giving a good answer or not a good answer. So for me, it's a really unique opportunity, and I have to say that I feel so blessed to, you know, be put in this position and be able to ask the questions that the fans want to hear.
Well, that's pretty good. Yeah, I was wondering if questions you asked, you prepare your questions or do you wing it and ad lib it and base your follow-up questions on the answers they give? Cause that's kind of how I do my thing, and I think it seems to work in it engages the driver a little more if you're talking about something he's interested in, and they seem to want to go from there. And as a fan, having never done that before into a position where you can do it, you can get away with the questions, where the ones that really have the tough time are the ones that are there week in and week out and ask the same question over and over. And you can tell that's when they get annoyed, especially Tony Stewart. We'd be careful with him.
Yeah, it's funny. I haven't had the chance yet to interview Tony Stewart besides at preseason Thunder at Daytona, and I actually had to ask him a question about his pig. He has a pig named Porkchop, but that's kind of off the topic that we were talking about. But it's like you said, I kind of I try to base it half and half. I prepare questions, and then I listen to what the driver has to say, and I try to ask follow-up questions based off of their answer to keep it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, that's good, because one time I was at Dover, and he was in the press conference, and I had asked him a question that he gave me a good answer to, so it was he wasn't upset at the question, so that's how I know. The guy right behind me asked him another question, and Tony just jumped into him and said, what are you trying to reinvent the wheel? really yeah, so he has a tendency to get a little uppity. I guess that's a nice way of putting it. Uppity when he is ask a question he don't like. But you get to feel them out, and you'll get to ask questions. So one time he was in there, he had a pet monkey, and I was asking him if the monkey got bad, did he ever have to spank the monkey? But I don't think that would have been appropriate, but it might have raised a little bit of laughs in the press room.
Yeah, he has some interesting pets. Like right now, for example, he travels on the road to almost every track. He didn't have him at Talladega, unfortunately. I was trying to get a picture with him, but he usually has his pig, Porkchop, with him everywhere he goes. So Tony has had some interesting pets, that's for sure.
That's a good one. I guess you don't go around and go, bacon. Wouldn't be a good idea. But anyway, it's all coming up this Saturday night. No points racing this weekend. A whole lot of fun and excitement for the Sprint All-Star Race. Vote on your favorite driver. Now, in the top 10, I guess I was wondering how Danica was doing. She might qualify. She might actually, if she runs the way she ran in Kansas City for the showdown, she might win that or finish runner-up, which would pretty much put her in the All-Star race.
Yeah, she had a career best, obviously, last weekend at Kansas Speedway, finishing seventh. She had such a fast car. She was in third for a while, you know, during the course of that race. And it was really exciting, you know, for me as another woman within the sport of NASCAR to watch that. I mean, we have waited and waited for her to have such a good race, and now she has. So you never know. She might be able to qualify really well in the sprint showdown for the Sprint All-Star race, and then she won't have to worry about the sprint fan vote, which fans can still vote on right now, you know, at NASCAR.com or on their NASCAR mobile app. But I'm really excited to see how things play out this week at the Sprint All-Star Race and in the Sprint Showdown the night before on Friday night. It's as we said before, it's really fun to have a race that's not a points race, because I think drivers, you know, take a different approach to it. And then when you add that $1 million on top of that to the race, it just really spices things up. And a lot of the drivers take a more aggressive approach than they normally would.
And if it's a full moon, watch out. I think it's going to be close. I think we're at 3/4 today, which is Monday. So Friday night, Saturday, it's going to be hovering. So,
yeah, you never know.
And then, of course, after this big weekend, at least you all get to stay at home for a couple weeks, because the following weekend is Memorial Day, and it's the Coca-Cola 600, and you get to hang out around there and don't have to do much travel until the week after when you go up to Dover.
Yes, that's true. We're home for 2 weeks. That's very nice, you know, on Kim and I. And then our third Miss Sprint Cup, who I can't say her name yet, but, you know, she has a nice kickoff, you know, with the Sprint All-Star Race, a great race for her to be announced at. And then she can kind of get used to things during the Coca-Cola 600 before we head up to Dover. So we're really excited to have the Sprint All-Star Race here at Charlotte Motor Speedway and get to be home and have such a great race here, you know, in Charlotte. So It's really exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun for the fans and for anyone who's maybe never experienced a NASCAR race before. It's definitely a good race to come out and see for the first time.
That's for sure. And last year, the fans also got the vote on the Miss Sprint Cup fire suit. So they're going to be doing that again as well, or you just get to keep the same yellow suit? Last year was three different configurations of your fire suit, and the fans got to vote on that as well. They're doing that as well this year? I mean, they pretty much got to vote on everything for the whole weekend.
Yeah, you know, so far for the Sprint All-Star Race, we haven't brought that back yet. But as far as I know, we might have a change in the fire suit somewhere down the road during the course of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series season. So you always want to be looking out for the latest things that Miss Sprint Cup is doing on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Vine, you know, our social channels. And then we're always doing cool stuff at the track. So for anyone who's coming out to the Sprint All-Star Race, they want to make sure that they come out to the Sprint Experience, you know, say hi to Kim and I. And our third Miss Sprint Cup will be announced later this week. And they can also come out there and find out more about our family plan and, you know, take a picture with the Sprint Cup Series trophy. So we always have new things going on. I'm not sure about those fire suits yet, but we might have a vote coming down the road. You never know.
Yeah, and then they also in the All-Star Race last year, they voted on the format of the race itself, whether it was 25, 35, and 10. Is that right? 70? Was it 70 laps or 75? Some. Then it was 25, 25, and 15, or 25, 35, and 15, and whatever added up to 75 laps. There's three different varieties, and it had inverted field, pit stop or no pit stop. Will they be doing that as well, or is that something we'll do? Earlier on,
you're actually thinking of our Sprint Unlimited race that we had back in February at Daytona.
That's right.
And we did that. Yeah, we did that again this year. It's okay. You know, it's good that you get confused because Sprint, you know, is always bringing new things for the fans to vote on. And that's what I think is so cool about the sponsorship that Sprint has over the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. It's that they're constantly giving the fans a voice when it comes to the races. And I think that's what's so neat about the All-Star Race, too, is it's, you know, this week and fans can still vote up to Friday night on the Sprint All-Star Race, the Sprint fan vote, get a driver in, you know, who has not yet been qualified for the Sprint All-Star Race and, you know, potentially see that driver win. A couple of years ago, Kasey Kahne was voted in the Sprint fan vote and ended up winning the race. So you never know that Sprint fan vote winner just might go home with the trophy and the $1 million.
That's for sure. And thanks for reminding me that I had the wrong race.
It's okay. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to, you know. We always have new things going on. So it's really exciting, as I said before. I think that's one of the coolest things that Sprint does with their sponsorship of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. They're always letting the fans have a voice in the races that they sponsor, particularly that aren't points races. And I think it makes it so unique because, you know, you can go to a million NFL games and the fans aren't going to get to decide, like, what players go in the game or what, you know, what teams are playing each other. But it's something that NASCAR, the Sprint Cup Series lets NASCAR do, so it's really exciting for fans.
That's for sure. Speaking of giving the fans a voice and something that Sprint also sponsors, the voice.
The Voice is such a great show. It's funny that you bring that up. I really enjoy watching it. I have a huge crush on Blake Shelton, so it's funny that you bring that up, but Sprint sponsors a lot of different things from The Voice to even the NBA. It's really neat.
Well, if you saw any of The Voice last week, the girl on Team Blake, Audra McLaughlin, who didn't make it to this week, she was from Philadelphia and is a student of a friend of mine at a rock school.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. I'll have to check it out. I actually... I didn't see it last week, obviously, because we were on the road to Kansas. But now that I'm home in Charlotte, I'm going to catch up on all my TV watching.
Well, I better let you go because The Voice is on tonight. Started about a half an hour ago. go ahead, go to NASCAR.com, Sprint Fan Vote, and pick your driver. Voting cuts off Friday night. The All-Star Race is Saturday. It'll be aired on Fox Sports 1. I think coverage starts at 7. And if you're out at the track, you get to enjoy more festivities that we don't get to see on TV, like all the concerts. Go to NASCAR Mobile, which is free to Sprint customers, and you can vote there as well, and points count double. I think I got about it all covered. Did I get it?
Yes, you got it all. Good job.
All right. Thanks again for joining me, Ms. Sprint Cup Madison Martin. I guess we'll hope to have you back as we get closer to the chase. Or if you want to just touch base, let me know or contact your people to contact my people. My people is me, so I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to promote in the meantime? If not, I'll have to check out all your social media sites and make to have you back on.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me again. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
It was a pleasure having you on. You take care. Go catch up on your TV, and we'll be watching this weekend to see what kind of fun stuff, who makes it in and who gets voted in. Take care now.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Ethan. Bye-bye. There you have it, Miss Sprint Cup Madison Martin, the newest member until this week when they announce the new Miss Sprint Cup, the third, so that these poor young ladies can get a day off because... going back and forth every week to all the tracks and all the races kind of gets a little hectic. Even the media members get the day off on some of them. Some go to some tracks, some go to the others. Your TV guys, of course, will switch from Fox this time to TNT, I guess, midway, and then ESPN will bring up the back end of the season. But it's good to have Miss Sprint Cup on as far as truck race this past weekend. Kyle Busch happened to take the checkered flag. Matt Crafton came in second. Joey Logano is in third. Austin Dillon in fourth. Taylor Mawson fifth. Jeff Burton sixth. Seventh was Herman Quiroga. Eighth was Ron Hornaday Jr. Ninth was Joe Nemechek. You get some double duty for front row Joe. And 10th was Mason Mingus. Race took 2 hours, 20 minutes, 25 seconds. The average speed, 107.03 miles an hour. Margin of victory was 3.020 seconds. 15 lead changes among 6 drivers and 9 cautions for 46 laps, including a good-sized one that wrecked up quite a few cars, including Johnny Sauter. Right now, Crafton in the points lead in the Truck Series. Tim Peters second. Ron Hornaday's in third. Quiroga's fourth. Johnny Sauter's fifth. Ryan Blaney, UFO, would be run a little better this year, is sixth in points. Seventh, Jeff Burton, who we had on the show last year. Eighth is Ben Kennedy, and ninth, Darrell Wallace Jr., and tenth is John West Townley. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be having Shayla Waddell join us. She's a young up-and-coming driver from out in Oklahoma, driving the little dirt track. She's looking for her way to make it up into the upper echelon. And we'll be talking to her in a little bit to see, get to know her a little better and how she's pursuing her career in racing. She'll be joining us in a little bit. So right now, take a little break and play the spot for Cadence Candles.
Cadence Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cadence uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
And we're back. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to Garage Talk Live. Right now, I'd like to welcome to the show my very special guest, a young lady from out in Oklahoma who's making her way through on the dirt tracks to move up to the next level, Shayla Waddell. Shayla, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Thank you, Vince, for having me.
So, being as you're new to my audience, you sound kind of young. When did you get your start in racing?
I'm 21 years old. This is my 14th year in racing and my 5th year in a full-size sprint car. I raced mini sprints prior to racing the full-size sprint car, and I was 8 when I started, so...
You're 8 when you started. At least you were out of diapers.
Yeah, I was. My sister actually started at 5, so she was younger than I was.
Now, being, I guess, you're a little bit of a racing family, are you and your sister real competitive when you're facing each other?
We were. She actually got out of racing a few years ago because she does other sports now, but... When we did race together, we were very competitive. She was the more aggressive one, and I was the more passive one. But we always seemed to be in the same race and get together every race somehow.
Well, that's good. Now, you're in the full-size sprint cars. Big jump from the smaller ones to this one. A lot of horsepower and handling. Did you feel... a little overwhelmed when you first got into it and so you got used to it?
Yeah, it was quite a bit different. I felt, to me, some people say it's not that different, but I felt like it was quite a big difference. I kind of felt like I had to learn how to drive a car again, but I was so much younger, though, that I think it was easy for me to get used to and make the transition. So... And I had a lot of good people helping me, and that helped out a lot, too.
That's good, too. Being out there in Oklahoma, do you have any problem getting sponsors, or is that pretty easy for you, depending on
My dad is my main sponsor. He owns an oil field maintenance company called PM Pro, and he is my main help. I also have some other oil field related sponsors, Shores Lift Solutions. I have TS Construction, Maxima Racing Oils, and Red Rock Distributing. It's not easy to find sponsors, but luckily I've had a couple that have stuck with me through ever since I started, and I was just lucky to have those.
And seeing the fact that you're moving up. I guess your eventual goal is to switch to pavement and race in NASCAR, or do you want to go open wheel and do the Indy circuit?
Oh, I like open wheel. I don't know if I'll ever get that far, but I really enjoy the sprint cars, the dirt track racing. That's just really what's fun to me. So we'll just kind of see what happens, I guess, where it goes. But I really like the sprint cars.
Oh, so you might want to, I guess the top series that you might look into would be World of Outlaws and competing with,
yep,
with those guys, right? Because they run a lot of the, well, they run the sprint cars and they run on dirt all the time. And
right.
That seems to be there.
Maybe from here, the ASCS series, depending on how, I don't know, just the sponsors I'm able to get and how I do in the next couple years. And then, I mean, now World of Outlaws would, I guess, be the ultimate goal because that's big time to me.
How's your season coming along so far?
We haven't got the start that I was hoping for, but I've got a new crew chief. His name is Nick Newton, and he has been doing great. We're just having some problems getting this car to work, so this week we're switching back to the old car, and hopefully we'll get it working right and get back up to the front. I've just had some kind of mediocre finishes so far. We've raced about 5 times so far this year, so hopefully we'll not mess around too long and get a good finish in the points, because we're running for points this season. So.
Yeah, that's a big thing. You're going to need those good finishes. Now, what seems to be the problem with the car as compared to an older car? The suspension?
Yeah, we're just not really getting it to work right, to move right, just not getting it how I want it to handle. I think I'm a little picky, and Nick is very good at finding the right setup that he knows that I would like to have. So that's really our main issue, is just getting this car to work right, and we just can't seem to get it to do what we want it to. So my older Eagle, it seemed to work really well, and I like the way that it drove and handled, and so we'll go back to that and see if we can't tell a difference.
I was wondering what the difference between the two cars were. If you set this new one up the way you did your old one and it's not working, then it's one thing, but if it's a whole different geometry design, then yeah, it might be a little bit of an issue, and you have to work the bugs out, and it's not something I guess you want to do during the season, because then it'll hurt you in the points.
Right, yeah, the geometry is a little different. I think there's an extra little brace in there somewhere that affects the way the car moves, and we've tried so many different things, and we've been to 5 different racetracks, and we still just can't seem to get it. So in order to not waste, you know, any more time messing around, we're just going to go back to the older car, and we're going to one of my favorite tracks this weekend, where we seem to do really well at. So, I don't know, we want to have a good car. So, and I know this one, I have confidence in it. So.
Now, what's your driving style kind of like? Are you one that likes to dive hard into the corners and then push on the way out, or you like to ride the high line and cruise around the outside?
I'm more of a middle to lower track driver. I'm getting better at running on the top. I like a tight race car, but I'm getting better. I'm needing to be more aggressive, pretty passive, so that's my main thing I'm working on, is not being afraid to, you know, bump someone or put my nose in there. So that's been a challenge for me. The main challenge is just getting that aggressiveness, because that's not how I am, so.
I guess going driving mid-track and lower, you're taking the short way around, but you get more momentum on the high side, so it's
right.
Just different characteristics going into the corner. I guess when
yeah,
you're in the middle of the track low, you want to what? Go in low early and then drift out?
Yeah, just try to keep my momentum up as much as I can. But like I said, I'm getting better running the high side. I just have to get that confidence to do it every race, and because it is a little, not scary, but just intimidating. So it's a lot of fun. We race with the Oil Capital Racing Series, and we race at, I think, 13 different tracks in Oklahoma, and we race a few times in Kansas, Missouri, and Texas, and they do a really good job at keeping us at different tracks and promoting the series, so there's a lot of fans, and I have a lot of fun, so...
That's pretty good. 13 different tracks, that's a good bit of tracks. Instead of, a lot of people run the same track every weekend and they get to know it pretty well. And, you're going from one track that runs, that's set up one way, and you go to one that's set up different. So it really takes a lot of the, not only getting used to the new car, getting used to a different setup track.
Yeah, it's challenging. I raced at the track here in Oklahoma City at the fairgrounds before they shut it down a couple years ago, and I raced there, only there, for a couple years, and that's where I kind of got used to the car, and I was used to that one track, so whenever we started going to all these different places, it was kind of challenging just going to tracks that I'd never seen before, but... like I said, there's a lot of people that in the OCRS that are willing to help, and it just makes it easier when people will talk to you and give you advice and kind of tell you how to set the car up and, things like that. So,
does it sometimes make it hard when you got so many different people giving you all sorts of different advice? To figure out which one, or you have to take notes and hopefully try them all and see which one works out.
Well, yeah, there's always a bunch of different people giving you advice, but I just remember all of it and kind of keep what I think is good and, try different things. But, just try to listen to what everyone has to say and get the best out of it. So, luckily, though, this year we've had Nick helping us, and that's taken a lot of the stress off of me to try and get the car set up and do all these things myself. And so I've really enjoyed it more this year now that he's helped a lot on taking that pressure off of me. So.
Well, that's good. So hopefully... you can get things turned around and climb back up that points ladder and have a shot at a title. How many races do you run a season in your league?
I think we're going to run about 25 or so. And then, with our off weekends, we'll go to Lawton, which is a track here in Oklahoma, and just try to get as much seat time as I can. And... just try to do as best as we can. So it'll probably be about 30 races altogether.
Oh, that's not bad. Maybe those are when you go have your off weekends, maybe those are the tracks you go to try out the new stuff. And then when you go back to the wrong ones in your series, you get something figured out. That's just the thing is you don't get to practice too much so you really don't get a chance to do some setup.
Yeah, exactly. Really the only, practice you get is in hot laps, and that lasts, a couple laps. And the track may not be, good by then. So it's hard to try that kind of stuff out. So Yeah, we like going to Lawton and playing around and not really having to worry about, you know, hitting that setup because we already kind of know the base setup, so.
Yeah, it's, their tracking is a lot tougher than people make it out to be. And, you know, everybody that goes out, you know, think it's, you go to your local dirt track, you see this, people go every week. Usually it's the same people you see, and they spend a lot of time after their day job to go work on the race car and then just to take it out on the weekend, where your situation is a little different than you have a day job and you go work on the car after, or does somebody work on the car while you either go to work or school?
Yeah, I go to school full-time. I'm a junior in college this year, and I also work part-time. So Nick does a lot of the maintenance work during the week. He goes to work, and then he has, you know, he after work he goes and works on the car at night, and I help him when I can, when I'm not doing homework or, you know, doing things around the house, and we go out on the weekends and race, and my dad is who makes it possible financially, and he's really done a lot of work to get us started, so it's just something that I get to do on the weekends and have fun with and, you know, trying to get better at, so we'll see what happens.
Now, what are you going to, what's your major, mechanical engineering or something girly? Are different?
It's actually marketing. I'm studying marketing, and I have fortunately, I got a full-ride scholarship through Chesapeake Energy to get this undergraduate degree. So I really enjoyed OCU, and I like going to school. So
yeah, it's still fun. I guess once you get out of school, then you got to use what you got. Marketing is good, though, especially being a race car driver. The better you market yourself, the more sponsors you can draw and all that other sort of stuff.
Exactly. Yep. It has already applied in different ways, so I really like it.
Is it just marketing or, like, communications, public relations, like, all-in-one type of thing? This way you do your own press release.
It's all in one type of thing. I'm taking some communications classes, too, and kind of getting that side of it. So I never thought I would do marketing. I actually was planning on doing mechanical engineering, but just the scholarship I got and kind of other things led to me doing this, and I've really enjoyed it. So, and marketing, like you said, can be very useful for racing or a lot of things.
Well, that's marketing is a good field because you can do a lot with it. You can either, you know, you can switch around from communications to sales to promotions to, you know, that other kind of stuff, and it'll help you in your racing as far as practical application. And if you do go to some big company and work there, then help you out in the long run and what you do, and I'd like to wish you a lot of luck this weekend and the rest of your season, and thanks for coming on. Hope you enjoy your time here on Garage Talk Live.
Yes, I have. Thank you, Vince, for having me.
So we'll keep an eye on you. You have to keep me posted. Do you have anything you want to promote? Facebook page, website, Twitter?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page. It's Shayla Waddell Racing. You can also go to the Oil Capital Racing Series Facebook page, and they keep a lot of information updated on the series and things like that.
Well, I'm going to go to your racing page. I found your personal page and sent you a request. Hope you don't mind.
I'll accept it.
And I'm going to hit like on that. This way I can keep track of you, and this way I have something else to talk about for the next time we have you on, see how you're doing.
Thanks. Yep, maybe after I get a win here pretty soon.
Oh, good luck, and we hope you get a win, get this car figured out. If not, your old car, maybe that'll get you a win. Sometimes, what's that old saying? If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Don't fix it. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And we're getting better. I'm looking forward to it. Main thing is I'm having fun, and I have a lot of great people around me that do it with me. So thank you.
You're welcome. And if you get a win, send me a message so I can announce that you got your win. I'd like to promote my guest's success, you know?
Okay, yeah, I'll do that, definitely.
All righty, you take care now.
Thanks, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have it, Shayla Waddell joining me here on Garage Talk Live. Another young girl in the Sprint Cup Series. I have to talk to my partner, Tammy. She likes to handle the dirt drivers, and Shayla likes running sprint cars on dirt, so hopefully she'll get a win. We'll make an announcement, and it's good to have her on. Next week, before Memorial Day, I don't know what we're going to do then. We'll definitely make picks for Charlotte. So maybe I'll get somebody from Dover, because Dover's on in a couple weeks. We can do that. But if you are watching the race at Kansas City, turned out to be Jeff Gordon's turn to pick up the checkered flag. It was a race pretty much dominated by Kevin Harvick, who led four times for 119 laps. And as that pit strategy comes on down near the end of the race, I think Gordon pit a little earlier than Kevin did and had fresher tires to use, and was able to make up some time and was able to come out ahead of Kevin Harvick. And it looked to a point there, had they run a few more laps, that Harvick was catching him, and it wound up being a close finish, but Kevin Harvick just ran out of laps there at the end, and had they gone green-white checker, I don't know what would happen. Might have been another win for Harvick, but Harvick, who did wind up qualifying the pole for that weekend, came home a close second. Casey Kane, a nice run for him in the five car, came in third. Joey Logano. Now, there's, I picked Brad Keselowski to win this race due to the way he's run there. And I don't know, the two Penske cars, Logano's been a little more consistent. So he wound up with a fourth-place finish. Dale Earnhardt Jr., a bounce back from Talladega, coming home fifth. Sixth, cousin Carl Edwards, another good run for him. He started fourth. Had a few off weeks last week at Talladega. He had a motor let go. But I think the big story of the weekend was Danica Patrick, who qualified ninth, ran as high as third, and she had a really strong car. It's the kind of car you thought she'd have been in, so I don't know whether it was the car or her. She wound up with her best career finish, which was a seventh. Of course, she came in eighth a couple years last year when she qualified on the pole for Daytona. So this is her best finish ever in the Sprint Cup Series. And it's the highest finish for a woman in the Sprint Cup Series. So every position she finishes ahead of what she did last is moving up the bar for women in the sport until she gets that first win. And then she'll be the, if she's the first woman to win a Sprint Cup race, there hasn't been anybody coming up to give her a run. So it's hers to do, and we'll see what happens from there. As far as points go, Jeff Gordon, who came into the race with the points lead, maintains it, but at least now he has that win under his belt, which puts him in the chase. Matt Kenseth, who's second, has no wins. And Kyle Busch is third. He has a win. Fourth is Dale Jr. with a win. Fifth is Carl Edwards with a win. Joey Logano is sixth with two wins. Seventh is Jimmy Johnson without a win. Eighth, Newman without a win. Ninth is Greg Biffle without a win. Brian Vickers without a win. He's a 10th. Brad Keselowski, 11th. Denny Hamlin, 12th. Both have wins. And, of course, they're taking 16. So that's Kyle Larson in 13th. Austin Dillon in 14th. They don't have wins. 15th is Kevin Harvick. He has two wins. And then Casey Kane rounds out the top 16 with points and wins. And then I think if you're in the top 30 and you have a win, you will make the chase, which puts Kurt Busch in the 28th spot in points into the chase because of that. He would bump Casey Kane out of it because he has a win, Casey doesn't. But if Kurt Busch falls below the top 30, that win won't matter. But that being said, we're going to end on that note. As far as the Spring All-Star Race, I am not going to post any picks up because I'm not making a pick for the All-Star Race. I try not to because I don't know who's totally in the field yet. Of course, the seven drivers, the eight drivers that have wins this year and some that have wins next year as well are in the race, so we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. And I'll have the results for you next week. Of course, also in action will be the NHRA. So there's a lot of racing for me to watch this weekend. And but I did want to get Jeff Gordon talking about his first win and this year and winning at Kansas after, you know, being close a few times.
You love winning anywhere, but there's just something about this track, the transitions, the shape of the corners. I've just always enjoyed it. Now, when they did the repave, you know, it threw some challenges at me personally that it wasn't my best track, but as it's aged and as we've gotten the cars so good and the tires and everything, it's come back to a track that I feel comfortable at, and so it feels awesome. I mean, it just feels so good to get that first win of the season, especially this year with the point structure and how close we've been so many weekends. And I think that while that's a huge relief off our shoulder, it's probably gonna just make us that much hungrier to go get that next one.
And of course, this being the first night race at Kansas, Jeff Gordon, who's known for winning first at tracks, of course, his winning the first Brickyard 400, and now the first night race, and talking about how it being special after running day races there.
Oh, it's very cool. I mean, this has always been one of my favorite tracks, from that first race, and I don't know what it is about this race team and this racetrack for inaugural events, but tonight's win was very, very special, man. And didn't come easy. This team has been working so hard, and this guy sitting next to me, he's been so driven and motivated, and it's been inspiring to me the kind of race cars I've had this year. And you know, nothing makes me more proud than when it's all on the line and you get the lead and you got to hold off somebody like Harvick and you get it done. It might have been by inches, but we got it done because, that's what builds momentum. That's what builds a great race team and turns you not only into a winning team, but hopefully into a championship team.
Of course, Kevin Harvick came home second, and this is him, what he had to do to...
Well, the car was really fast. We just had to overcome a lot tonight, getting caught on pit road both times under green flag pit stops. And then there at the end, we ran out of gas coming to pit road there, and I was looking at the fuel pressure gauge instead of the tack, and lost a bunch of time down pit road and off of pit road, and wound up getting stuck behind the 24. And the car was really tight, and then I found the groove that worked for me way up the racetrack, and I caught him, and then I slipped and lost everything I'd gained, and then gained it all back, and just ran out of laps at the end.
And there's your second place finisher, Kevin Harvick. So just want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to Garage Talk Live on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you all next week. Keep checking out our Facebook page and our Twitter page. And you can follow me on Twitter at GTLVince, GarageTalkLive.com. If you're not sure, we have the link there to Blog Talk Radio. And we'll see you all next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Good night and good racing.